Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and on my left, as always, is my Lancashire co-host, Joe Nutsy Nuttall. So Joe, mate, how's your day been so far?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Lancashire made a good start to the T20. Obviously, we unfortunately lost to Worcester, but to be honest, everyone's going to lose at some point, so it doesn't really... I mean, it's disappointing to lose, of course, but realistically, you're always going to lose a game in the T20. So, rather that than against Yorkshire. I think Lancs are looking very strong. Although we do lose Livingston. And if Livingston just sits around doing nothing for two games, that's frustrating. Or three games, however long it is. That's frustrating. But disappointing as well for the test series as well. I think England were very average at best.
Well, I have to ask about that, Joe. Right. What did you make of the test? Because I was there, by the way, before we actually talk a little bit. I mean, today's discussion is about the T20 Blast. We'll get to that in due course. But I was actually there on day one, for example. And before we talk about the actual test itself, just want to say a massive thank you to everyone at Edgbaston. Absolutely fantastic, slick.
It looked like a great atmosphere.
Well-oiled machine. It was, oh.
On Twitter, for like crowd videos and stuff, it looked like a great atmosphere. So
brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Every single one of those fans who attended, yes, unfortunately, the result didn't go our way in this particular test, but every single one of the fans that turned up at Fortress Edgbaston were absolutely sensational. I cannot give them enough plaudits. From ball one right to the end of the day's play, non-stop atmosphere, supporting the boys. It was a special atmosphere. It really was. And as I said, we need to give a special thanks to the volunteers, the stewards, everyone at Edgbaston who made that occasion just so special for us all. It's absolutely fantastic. Unfortunately, England did come out on the losing side, but again, New Zealand, they are the better side, aren't they, Joe?
New Zealand are a great side. Honestly, I think they'll beat India. I just think New Zealand are made for Test cricket in England. The conditions are so similar in both countries, and I can't see India beating New Zealand, if I'm honest. It's not really relevant, I suppose. I just thought I'd point that out. So, yeah, very, very disappointed from England this week. They didn't even play Jack Leach. That was bizarre. I'm not sure how it's going to work with having no selectors, but or different selectors. Really no selectors, but so far, not been the best start, has it? So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, unfortunately not the greatest of test series for England, unfortunately. But again, the better team won. You have to give a lot of credit to New Zealand. Devon Conway, Latham, Will Young was fantastic as well. They're just an excellent team. It's as simple as that. And I tell you what, the World Test Championship final will be absolutely electrifying. It really will. It's going to be a spectacle. I know, Joe, that you do fancy New Zealand. For some reason, I fancy India. I really do, just because it's at the Rose Bowl. Just because, as we saw in 2018, if you remember the Moeen Ali 9-for that he got against India, if that surface is dry and it just starts cracking and deteriorating, even just slightly, you look at those Indian spinners, they're going to be licking their lips with absolute joy. So I think it's going to be a fantastic final, should be a great occasion. But as I said, Joe, we aren't here to talk about Test cricket as much as we would love to, and we could do all day. We really could, because let's face it, there's a lot to talk about, in particular with regards to England and, of course, the World Test Championship final. But no, instead, listeners, today we're going to be talking about the 2021 Vitality T20 Blast. Now, this is our first wrap-up show for this year's tournament. And just to give you guys a bit of a preview as to what you can expect from us over the next few weeks as the tournament progresses. In these review shows, we're going to be going through standout batting performances, standout bowling performances, our teams of the week, our player of the week, our under 23 player of the week, and also a selection of games which you should be looking out for heading into the upcoming week of games. But before we get into all of that good stuff and we dissect and analyse the last week of T20 action here in England and Wales, let's have a look at each of the tables. Now, of course, here on TCCP, myself and Joe do support North Group teams, so we will start with the North Group. And currently sitting atop of the North Group standings are the Worcestershire Rapids on 5 points. They played 3, won 2, and had a fantastic tie on the Sky Sports cameras at New Road against Notts. That was a brilliant
first game. First game in the tournament. Well, on Sky.
Yeah,
we were incredible. Actually, Lancs the first game in the tournament.
But first televised game.
Yeah,
televised game.
Yeah.
Fair play to Worcester. They really did come back very, very well in that game. In second are currently Durham on 4 points. In third, Joe, are the Birmingham Bears. also on 4 points, having sealed consecutive back-to-back wins over the weekend over Notts and Derbyshire respectively. In fourth are the Lancashire Lightning, also on 4 points but with an inferior net run rate to the Birmingham Bears. In fifth are the defending champions, the Nottinghamshire Outlaws, on 3 points. Sixth are the Derbyshire Falcons on 2 points. Seventh are the Yorkshire Vikings on 2 points. And in eighth and ninth are the Leicestershire Foxes and the Northamptonshire Steelbacks on 0 points, respectively. Now, moving on to the South Group, potentially a bit of a surprise here, Joe. Currently top of the South Group are the Kent Spitfires. They have had an absolutely barnstorming start to life in the 2021 Vitality Blast. They've played three and won three, so they are currently top of the standings on 6 points. In second are Surrey, also unbeaten on 4 points, with a fantastic net run rate, by the way. Just have to mention this, plus 2.517. Extraordinary. They absolutely hammered.
Not surprised in their batting lineup.
Well, we're not, are we, Joe? But I mean, the way in which they just dispatched Middlesex in the London Derby.
Oh, definitely, yeah, definitely.
And then annihilated Somerset. Oh, they are a very, very strong team this year. In third, again, no surprises here, the Sussex Sharks, another very, very strong team in the South Group on 4 points. In fourth, are Glamorgan on 2 points. In fifth are the Essex Eagles on 2 points. In sixth are Gloucestershire, also on 2 points. In seventh, there's a pattern here. The Hampshire Hawks are also on 2 points. And then in eighth and ninth are Somerset and Middlesex on 0 points. So yeah, some interesting preliminary standings so far. We have only played a maximum of three group stage games, actually, in each of the groups. But there is so much to talk about. And Joe, we're going to start with the North Group this week. Of course we are. And we're going to talk about our standout batting performances. So, Joe, mate, I'll start with you because I know in particular you want to talk about one innings. You were there for it at Emirates Old Trafford. What would you say were your three standout batting performances from this week's games?
Yeah, so I'll go with an outrageous batting performance, firstly. I'll go to the one that you mentioned without obviously saying it, although it's pretty obvious anyway. I'll go to that one last. But firstly, Joe Clark, absolutely outrageous. 136 of 65. Ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And Notts only got 214. I don't know how he has not been included in England's T20 squad. He must feel so hard done by, honestly. England have their favourites, don't they? They absolutely have their favourites. I don't understand why they keep going back to those players. And Joe Clark is probably, well, Livingston's broken into the squad now. So I'll say he's there. So after him, I would say Joe Clark is the next person who has to get into this squad. For me, he is the best uncapped white ball player in England.
In all white ball or just T20?
Certainly in just T20, but I would
agree with that. Not in just white ball, I'd say.
I mean, obviously, you're going to say Sam Hing, but
yeah, 59.78 average.
Those two are certainly in the top two 100% in all white ball cricket. Sam Hing's got runs again in this T20, hasn't he, this week? So, which I'm sure will probably be one of your batting performances. So, yeah, I mean, Joe Clark, ridiculously good. I'm sure he's also up there in one of your three, I would assume.
Absolutely tip-top. Top of the standings in mine. Absolutely unbelievable display of ball striking. It really was. You mentioned 65 balls, but 6 fours, Joe. I mean, that in itself is excellent. But then you look at the sixes, 11 of them. Just the 11.
Yeah, yeah.
It was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. He peppered the boundaries at Wantage Road. It was so destructive. It was an absolute exhibition in T20 batting. And you mentioned that as well. The rest of his team actually struggled on this surface. Okay, if you look at the scorecard, there weren't many big scores. Joe Clark really did carry this entire innings for the defending champions.
Yeah, only three of the players got into double figures.
Exactly, exactly. And yet he's producing that kind of performance. Oh, he's just absolutely extraordinary. Absolutely terrifying. And a 209 strike rate as well. Not bad at all for Joe Clark. Absolutely extraordinary this week. But Joe, moving on from Joe Clark's, well, we have to just call it mind-blowing innings. And it was. And not only that, I have to mention as well, some of the shots, so classy. He does just have an elegance and precision about his game. But in moving on from Joe Clark's century, Joe, what do you say was your second standout performance of the week with the bat in the North Group?
So I'm probably going to be called very biased here, but Finn Allen's 73 of 51 for me was a really, really good innings because, you know, he showed, you know, to be honest, it was a game against Leicester where Lancs actually struggled with the bat, if I'm being honest. And although he didn't score very quickly at the start, I think he brought up his 50 in around 40 balls, around that. And then he got 73 in the end. So he scored about 23 runs in 10 balls, just kind of pushing us over the line, over that 150 mark. And I think he got to the point where Leicester needed, I think, 17 off the last ball. So those runs were actually crucial. So for me, although he didn't probably bat as quickly as people would expect him to, you know, this is the first real time I've seen Finn Allen bat. I've seen him bat now twice properly. And he's really impressed me both times. Over 100 runs already in the tournament. Yeah, as I say, it wasn't an outrageous display of, you know, power hitting. He just, it was a well-measured innings on a surface that actually I think was not as easy as it looked, especially considering how the likes of Butler, Livingston, Davis, who unfortunately has not started the tournament so well, especially how much they struggled. And then, as I say, those like 20 runs he got in the last 10 balls, 15, 20 runs he got, were crucial. They pretty much won Lancs the game. So, yeah, for me, probably a bit of a left field choice and a very biased choice, but Finn Allen would be my second one there.
Fair enough, Joe. I mean, he is a great player. For those who don't know, listeners, I'm a Wellington Firebirds fan in New Zealand domestic cricket. And Finn Allen was the leading run scorer in the Super Smash in 2021. He scored 512 runs. And you look at his strike rate as well, Joe. I know you said he's not a ridiculously... He's not ridiculously hard-hitting in terms of his technique, but he just caresses the ball so effortlessly. Yeah, it is scary to watch. Because when someone looks so effortless, when they are dispatching balls to the boundary rope and hitting massive sixes, you know that you're facing a special talent. And as I said, that is just reflected by his strike rate in the Super Smash. It was 193.93 across an entire tournament. That is absolutely ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
And even his strike rate in this innings was 143, which is not exactly slow.
Yeah.
So, you know, even though he probably didn't score as quickly as he would have hoped, it's still a really good innings. So, you're probably a very biased choice and a bit left field, but Finn Allen definitely is my second one. And then, of course, my third one. And this was probably the best T20 innings I've ever seen live, I think. I'm trying to think of any better. And I can't really... I think probably Joe Root's 92 against Lancs for Yorkshire a couple of years ago was just as good. But this is probably the best T20 innings I've ever seen live at a ground. I've never seen a T20 100 remarkably live at a ground. So, yeah, I would say this is probably the best one. Leon Livingston, 94 or 58. What a player, and honestly, how he does not get into England's T20 side is beyond me, because the fact that he's become such a key part of Lancs' bowling as well. He opened the bowling against Derby. Yeah, I don't think he did against Leicester or against Worcester, but he opened the bowling against Derby. 4 overs, 1 for 22. I know we're not talking about bowling.
Got the first wicket of the tournament as well. Just a nice bit of trivia. Billy Godelman in the first over, bowled him with a beautiful bit of bowling as well. Nice
really,
drift.
Really good. Really, really good from Livingston. What an innings, man. He's so good. The power he possesses is just remarkable. He just hits the ball so far. And I don't really even know what else to say. He's just such a good player. It's outrageous how good he is. I don't think last year he was probably at his best, but he seems back to it now. He really does. That was, as I say, probably the best T20 innings I've seen live at a ground, or certainly in the top two or three. It was outrageous.
Fair enough, Joe. It was. And the thing is, when you look at that Lancashire opening duo of Finn Allen, who I think, as I said, just looks so effortless, so graceful with his batting. And then you got Liam Livingston, who is basically the powerhouse. That man can muscle a ball out of the stadium. He sent it over the Pennines at one point into Yorkshire. He has so much power. He is such a destructive ball striker. And those two, to me at least, just complement each other perfectly. And they are really going to be imperative to Lancashire's success in the tournament this year.
Sorry, I was going to say, Finn Allen, actually, if no one's seen him really play, I would compare it to probably to Tom Banton a little bit. I would say that he's very similar kind of style player. He's not, maybe not a similar technique in terms of, you know, Banton's very like free-flowing and stuff. But
innovative, yeah.
Yeah, he's certainly that kind of innovative player. And he's a very, Banton's not a power hitter, is he, like Livingston? Banton's a lot of timing. And he middles the ball a lot. Livingston doesn't necessarily need to middle the ball for it to go for six.
Yeah.
Finn Allen's similar to Banton in that sense. So I'll probably say he's quite similar to Banton. But yeah, what a player. To be honest, that top four, probably top five, top six, including Croft, probably the best top order in the tournament, I would say. especially considering, but certainly for now, until Butler and Livingston go, that will change. But certainly for now, for me, the best top six in the tournament.
I was going to say, Nottinghamshire fans and Surrey fans may disagree.
I'd say Surrey are certainly up there as well. Probably us and Surrey.
As a Notts, though. Hales, Duckett, Moores, Clark.
Not so good.
Probably let's face it, we have got some absolutely fantastic lineups this year. If you actually have a 100%. Look, this year is going to be so competitive. It really, yeah, really is. Of course, with the batting lineups and the bowling lineups, which we'll talk about in due course, Joe. But we have mentioned there Liam Livingston. He was my second choice for this week's batting performances. We've gone into enough detail about that. Again, it was an incredible innings. Little bit of a shame that he couldn't get that century, Joe, just for your sake. Yeah, so you could definitely have seen a T20 century.
Definitely.
But yeah, what an innings, what a player. And the fact is, you saw the Twitter reaction as well. So many people calling for Liam Livingston to start more games for England. And there is some substance behind that, 100%. He's a fantastic, fantastic 100%. Player. Do not be surprised if he has a big summer for England as well. But in terms of my third choice, Joe, I didn't actually choose Finn Allen. As much as I loved that
Fair enough. As I said, that was a bit of a biased choice. There's probably better T20 innings out there.
It's up there, though. No, I must admit, because as you said, he changed the game in those final couple of overs. Because Gavin Griffiths, who, again, spoiler alert, listeners, I will mention in due course, he bowled so well to keep things really, really tight for Leicestershire. And then Finn Allen just exploded towards the end and gave Lancashire that impetus, which they needed. So that was a fair enough innings, Joe. But I've actually gone with a guy who, at least I seem to mention every single week here on the podcast, and that's Matt Critchley. I cannot give enough plaudits to this guy. He is so good. He is so, so good across all three formats. We talk about Livingston being an England regular, I suppose, in white ball cricket. Matt Critchley is banging down that door with some ferocity, not just in white ball cricket, but red ball cricket as well. He's had a fantastic county championship for the East Midlands side so far in 2021. But we look at this week's performance, and I just have to mention the 80 not out from 45 balls against Leicestershire at Grace Road. We talk about Finn Allen's potentially match-defining innings there against Leicestershire. This was also a fantastic, fantastic knock from Matt Critchley. This completely changed the outlook of the game. You look at the result, Derbyshire won by 23 runs in this game. Without this performance from Matt Critchley, they probably would have lost. Let's face it, they wouldn't have that momentum towards the end of the innings. And I just look at Matt Critchley, and again, he does have a lot of power. He is someone who can pick you apart with a flurry of fours and sixes, but he also rotates the strike very well. And I noticed that in this innings, he was picking the gaps very, very nicely. It's almost like he was playing a hybrid innings, almost, just going for power and precision. It was a real showcase of his skill and ability as a T20 batsman. And I tell you what, Derbyshire fans, you have got a special talent on your hands there. He is so, so good. He is very much a three-dimensional player. He can bat, he bowls good leg spin, he's great in the field. I can't say enough good things about Matt Critchley. He performs across all three formats. He performed this week, he performed in the championship. And to be honest, I think that he should be at least challenging in one of the England squads. 100%.
Well, I mean, after England have gone like that in the test match, 100%, you could argue he gets in over like four or five players in the test side.
Potentially, yeah. Because he's a spin bowling all-rounder, isn't he?
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, he's such a good player. Matt Critchley deserves more plaudits. He really does. We need to see if he can get into an England squad. But yeah, that 80 not out from 45 balls, excellent. Absolutely excellent this week from Matt Critchley. But moving on from the batting then, Joe, let's go into our bowling performances. And because I've already mentioned him, apologies for the spoiler listeners, but Gavin Griffiths is my first performer of the week. 4 for 24 against Lancs. Yes, it was in a losing cause, but I thought he bowled really, really well. And Joe, you would have seen this live. How impressed were you with Gavin Griffiths? I thought the way in which he manipulated his change of pace. Also, he was bowling pretty quick short balls as well. I did just want to mention that. But how impressed were you watching that firsthand?
Yeah, well, as you say, I obviously saw this live. This, by the way, was one of my choices as well. I actually saw this live, and I just think Gavin Griffiths, he didn't really ever settle in at Lancs. You know, we talked about him on the Afro Prince podcast that we did not so long ago, which I would highly recommend listening to if you haven't already. So yeah, we talked a little bit about his debut, which was in the 2015 final. Remarkable time and place to make debut. Never really worked out for him at Lancs in the end, unfortunately. But yeah, to go away and see him do so well for Leicester now, just great to see. Obviously disappointing it was against Lancs, because I always want Lancs to do well, and I want Lancs' batters to hit the bowlers around the ground for lots of runs. But in terms of to see Griffiths come back and perform like that at Old Trafford, yeah, really, really impressive. So as you say, he was bowling a good pace as well. I've never really pegged him down as a absolutely rapid bowler, but he was bowling a really good pace. So yes, four really good wickets. And I'll be honest, kind of made it a little bit nerve-wracking for Lancs, or for me, watching Lancs anyway.
Well, he did, didn't he? He completely halted the momentum in those middle overs. And to be fair, in terms of the wickets, they were very much T20 dismissals, weren't they? Batsmen were trying to go after him. But again, you got to bowl in the right areas in T20 cricket. He wasn't bowling in the slots. He wasn't bowling erratic deliveries. He just kept that consistent line and length. As I said, he mixed up his change of pace. But I was really impressed with the short balls. I mentioned it beforehand. Like, as you said, Gavin Griffiths, to me, he does bowl at a decent pace, but he doesn't bowl at that pace, at least not from what I've seen of him. So, definitely yeah, very, not. Very impressed with him this week. Very, very impressed. Some very well-executed short balls, indeed, against the Lancashire Lightning. Now, Joe, before I ask for your second one, I actually want to mention my one first. It is a Durham player, and it is Ben Rain. Now, this happened yesterday. We are recording this on the Monday, of course, listeners. But Ben Rain's 3-for-19 against Leicestershire at Grace Road. Sorry, Foxes fans, by the way. Your team is popping up a lot this week. I mean, obviously, just been some fantastic individual performances against the running Foxes. But yeah, 3-for-19 from four overs. And to be honest, I just wanted to mention this purely for the slower ball against Colin Ackerman. It was beautifully executed. We talk about Gavin Griffiths' execution for the running Foxes. But this, it was so deceptive. And Ackerman had completely thrown his shot and the ball had just gone past. It was so slow. It was delightfully executed from Ben Rain. It was a great, great slow ball. Got the big wicket off Colin Ackerman, who, as I know from first hand, can completely change a game in an instant and has done against the Bears on many, many occasions. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And again, with Ben Rain, he didn't overcomplicate things. He wasn't trying 5, 6, 7 different variations. He was just hitting a hard length. And it really, really worked. He seemed to have sussed out the actual nature of the surface at Grace Road very, very early on. So Ben Rain for me this week, incredibly, incredibly impressive. And I'll just have to mention as well that partnership between Ned Eckersley and Liam Dravaskis. Wow, what a comeback. 85 for 7 to win the game, 170 for 8. What a win that was for Durham. But yeah, Joe, I do digress. I just had to mention that for Durham fans out there. But what's your second North Group bowling performance of the week, mate?
Yeah, so I'll stick with the same game. I was gonna do a different one, but I'll stick with the same game. And I have gone for, this time it's a Leicester player, and I've gone for Aaron Lilley in this game. Now, Aaron Lilley is someone who, oh, I'm not sure. but in all seriousness, this is a great bit of bowling from Aaron Lilley, who, to be honest, has not really, has become more of a batsman. Basically, he's become more of a batsman in T20 cricket. In fact, he's only playing white ball cricket now. But he's clearly been working on his bowling. He bowled against Lancs, bowled decently against Lancs, although did go around the ground a bit. But he's such a good bowler. And, you know, he proved this in this game. Obviously, it was for a losing cause, but he proved this in this game. 4 overs, 3 for 26. Really, really impressive from Aaron Lilley. And you can't really ask for much more for what some people would probably say is a part-time bowler now. I'll tell you what, that's really, really impressive. And I've always backed Aaron Lilley. I was gutted when he left Lancs. I never wanted him to leave. I've always backed him. I've always said he can be a great player for Leicester. And I really do think he's going to prove to be a great player for Leicester. He got a few runs last year, not really scored many runs yet this year, but obviously we're only, what, 3 games in?
Yeah,
so
it's far too
early. Not the
end
of the world. But he has been taking wickets, and that's great to see. He's been bowling really well. So, yeah, in the losing cause, nearly dragged his side back into the game. So I'll go for Aaron Lilley there.
Yeah, very, very impressive. I must admit, from my namesake, obviously spelt different, of course. Yeah, Aaron Lilley, very, very impressive this week for the running Foxes. Joe, in terms of my third one, we haven't really mentioned Yorkshire this week, actually, but my third one is a Yorkshire Vikings player and a former guest here on the Counts Cricket Podcast. It's Jordan Thompson. And this was against my team, the Bears, unfortunately. Yes, we did lose our season opener at Headingley. But he was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. You think of the power in that Birmingham Bears batting lineup with the likes of Sam Hain, Michael Burgess, Carlos Brathwaite, Dan Mousley, for example, Ed Pollock. Jordan Thompson really played the enforcer role brilliantly. 3 for 23 from 4 overs, so 5.75 economy rate. And he took 3 massive wickets of Dan Mousley, Carlos Brathwaite and Michael Burgess. He completely halted our momentum, unfortunately for us as Warwickshire fans. But Jordan Thompson, for me, third standout bowling performance of the week. Absolutely brilliant. Again, didn't overcomplicate things. And this has been a theme this week, hasn't it, with the bowling performances so far. Just keeping it simple, using the odd variation, make the batsman come after you and hope that they make a mistake. And that is exactly what happened, as Yorkshire did emerge victorious, must be said, pretty easily at Headingley. They won by 6 wickets. But yeah, Jordan Thompson, brilliant with the ball this week. He's a great all-rounder, isn't he, Joe? We have sung Jordan's praises a lot here on the podcast. He's a great guy, great cricketer. And yeah,
and I said actually,
very, very well.
Yeah, and I said actually in the Championship, he should be batting higher because he is a really good player. Mm. So fair enough. I think that's a good shout. But for my third one, I've actually gone for... So we mentioned this game at the start, the tied game between Notts and Worcester, and I've actually gone for Moeen Ali.
Oh, fair play.
What a performance this was for Moeen Ali. Obviously, opened the ball. I think he only bowled one over up front. But then dragged his side right back into the game. 4 overs, 2 for 15.
Mm.
A pretty much single-handedly, but played a huge part in helping his side get the tie. That's Moeen Ali at his best, isn't it? That's Moeen Ali at his best. Really, really good performance from him. Hopefully, we can see him back in an England shirt soon. I'd like to see him back in a Test shirt, the way England have been going. He can only improve things, surely, because he's been batting quite decently as well for Worcester. So, what a player Moeen Ali is. He's just that kind of cricketer you can't dislike. He always puts a smile on people's faces. He's just such a good player.
Well, you say always, not when he's blasting us to the boundary.
Maybe
every
not,
single
but
time
but
in the
certainly
derby.
For England. Certainly for England. He's just a cult hero, isn't he, Moeen?
Oh, he's brilliant. The fact that Moeen Ali is a fantastic cricketer. He really is. And you think back to last year, Worcestershire missed him tremendously. They finished bottom of the central group. They missed his leadership, his bowling and his batting. And he's come back this year. And it is absolutely no surprise that Worcestershire are now top of the North group. No surprise at all. Yes, the surprise would have been the tie and the way in which they came back into it. It had shades of 2019, didn't it, Joe? Let's face it, the way in which Worcestershire wrestled back control extraordinarily after an incredible opening partnership between Joe Clark and Alex Hales. But yeah, great choice there. And as you said, Joe, Moeen Ali, what a cricketer. What an incredible cricketer.
100%. And actually, just while we're on the topic of Worcestershire bowlers, I would say I've been disappointed with Ben Dwarshus so far, to be honest. I had quite high expectations of him, certainly up front with the new ball.
Again, though,
it's a bit disappointing. I know he's probably 100%, but even so, he's a great bowler. I did kind of hope he would just... I'm not expecting him to start taking fifers left, right and centre, but even he's been very expensive. So hopefully he can start to concede less runs. That would be good. But even so, he's a good bowler, so I'm sure he'll bounce back.
Talking of Worcestershire as well, Joe, it's funny that we have just mentioned the Rapids, because let's move on to our team of the week. And my standout team of the week in the North group is our West Midlands rivals. It is Worcestershire. They've been incredible. I say that as a Bears fan as well. Worcestershire fans, I know you'll have a nice big grin on your face right now. But Worcestershire have been really, really impressive. They would have been my team of the week just for that first game alone. To show that much character, that much resolve, to come back against the defending champions who were in complete control. No one would have blamed Worcestershire for almost not giving up per se, but rolling over a little bit. But they fought tooth and nail to the bitter end. So much character, so much determination. This is a team which really does have belief of a big season this year. And we've mentioned about Moeen Ali. Moeen Ali's leadership is intangible in terms of its importance. We can't measure it. There's no statistics. But you can already see right now what a difference his inclusion has made to this Rapids outfit. They were energetic in the field. The bowling changes as well were so, so clever. They really were. He nailed it. He absolutely nailed his bowling changes. He bowled well, as you mentioned, Joe, 2 for 15. And so far, the Rapids look like a really, really strong team.
I think the only worry is when he goes.
That is true. But with that being said, we mentioned about guys like Ed Barnard here on the podcast. He is 100%, fantastic.
100%.
They've got
I'm not saying that he's going to single-handedly carry the team, but... Once you take Moeen Ali out, that's a massive... It's like when Lance lose Butler and Livingston.
Well, we saw it last year,
players.
Didn't we?
Definitely.
With Worcestershire. Worcestershire finished bottom of the central group. He is their talisman. But as long as Moeen Ali is there, Worcestershire are an incredibly, incredibly strong outfit in this year's competition. So for me, Worcestershire on 5 points, top of the North Group, two wins and that incredible tight new road. They are my standout team of the week, Joe. So who have you selected out of interest for this week?
Yeah, so for me, my standout team, I mean, I would like to say Lancs. I do think Lancs still one of the best sides in the country, if not the best. On paper, that is. But I will say Durham, because obviously they haven't lost yet. They've got a good net run rate. They beat Yorkshire, and that comeback against Leicester was outrageous. So I will say Durham. I think they're a good side. I don't think they're gonna be winning the tournament this year, but I think they'll be one of maybe the shocks of the tournament. I could see them getting to finals day. I could see them making finals day as maybe more like an outsider. You know, remember when Derbyshire made finals day?
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, that kind of thing. You know, nobody really predicted Derbyshire to get there. I feel like it'd be the same thing with Durham. Although, as I say, they are a good side. So I'll go for Durham as my team of the week.
Fair enough. They're almost like dark horses, aren't they? They're not out-and-out favourites, a bit like Lancashire, for example, or Worcestershire and Notts. But they do have a pretty good bowling attack, it must be said. Matthew Potts. You like Matt Potts, Joe.
Yeah.
So do I.
Mean, I called him to play in the championship.
He did very well. And he is a great white ball bowler. I look at him as a T20. I don't want to pigeonhole him, but I do look at him as more of a white ball player. He has shown that he can play red ball cricket as well. Got Liam Travaskis, who's fantastic. Bryden Carst, the extra bit of pace. Ben Rain, who we mentioned earlier. Durham are a very, very interesting outfit. So listeners, do watch out for Durham this year. Could be very, very interesting indeed. But Joe, moving on from our team of the week then in the North Group, let's choose our under 23 player of the week. I think that we have the same player. If we're being honest, I've chosen Finn Allen for obvious reasons.
I've also chosen Finn Allen. Yeah,
exactly. We don't have to go into tremendous detail. We've mentioned that 73. In three games, he scored 112 runs at 56 and a 157.74 strike rate. He's a
Can't
great,
really
great
much
talent.
More.
No, I
great
bet you're
signing.
Buzzing.
Great signing. 100%.
Great signing.
Great signing. And to be honest, I was gutted when we didn't sign Glenn Maxwell. Everyone knows that. I was gutted. But I think Maxwell was great in the sense, also with his bowling. I don't feel like we need any more spinners now, that's for sure. Cross hasn't even bowled a ball yet in the tournament, as far as I know. So, yeah, I think Finn Allen, great signing. Just the only thing I will say about Finn Allen is it means Davis can't open the batting, obviously. And Davis has only got 7 runs in 3 innings in the tournament. He's got 2 ducks. That's quite worrying for me. Hopefully he can find his form. I would say switch the order around, but that's obviously not going to happen. Livingston is going to be gone soon with England, so that'll get Davis back up the top of the order. Hopefully he can get some runs under his belt, because as I say, he's a class player, Alex Davis. So
is indeed. But yeah, in terms of our under 23 player of the week then, Finn Allen. Well done, Finn. That is fantastic for me to hear as well, as a Wellington Firebirds fan. And in terms of standout player of the week, Joe, again, we don't have to go into too much detail. I've chosen Joe Clark. Simple as that. 189 runs with a 203.22 strike rate. He scored 15 sixes in 3 games, 11 of which came in that ridiculous century against Northants. Yeah, definitely my standout player of the week. Joe, would you concur with that?
Yeah.
No surprises there at all. Yeah. So, Joe Clark is our standout player of the week. Again, absolutely no shock.
Can't really. To be honest, you can't really ask for anyone else. The only other person I'll say comes close, well, two people, is Liam Livingston and Murray Nally. They're the only two people who could come close, purely because they're taking wickets, but you can't really ask for much more. Because Joe Clark got runs against, a few runs against Worcester as well. So
he did, yeah. I think he really 45 much, yeah. from 20.
45, off. Yeah, not many.
So Joe, before we move on to the South Group then, we do of course have our game to watch out for. Now, this week is very, very interesting indeed, because this could be the only time this season that our teams play each other, unless both reach Division 1 in the Championship. So it is the County Cricket Podcast Derby this week between the Birmingham Bears and the Lancashire Lightning. A lot is on the line, a lot of pride, a lot is at stake. So boys, please do not let me down when I'm there at the Fortress on the 18th of June. But Joe, I'm guessing that's also one of your standout games of the week. Bears versus Lightning. We all know the history. The Bears have a fantastic record.
It worries me, that game, to be honest. And I'm always, when Lancs play T20s, I'm always confident we'll win every game. But this is the only game, because we just have a terrible record at Edgbaston. Even on finals days recently, we've been awful. So this game genuinely worries me. I still think we'll win. I still think we're better than Warwickshire, if I'm honest. Even without Livingston and Butler. Oh, no, we will have Livingston. Yeah, no, they're still in there. That's
Yeah, we've got. We may have Wokes as well.
Yeah, that's their last game. So, actually, 100% I think we're better. Chris Wokes, by the way, that was a great dismissal. That was a great wicket when he knocked. I don't know who it was who he knocked over, but he bowled someone and knocked stumps out of the ground. I saw it on Instagram. That was a great wicket. I can't remember who it was off the top of my head, but that was a great wicket. Good to see him back playing as well.
100%.
Chris Wokes.
Yeah, that was his first T20 Blast game, by the way, since 2018.
Which is crazy. Yeah. And it, obviously in the England T20 squad, which not many people expected. Certainly I didn't. So that is, it's going to be a great game. Hopefully Lancs can come out on top. And apart from that, just any game that involves Lancs is one to watch. Because
well, it's funny you mentioned that because my second game is the Lightning versus the Outlaws. I think that is going to be an absolutely brilliant game. That is before our next recording. It's on the Sunday, the 20th. At Old Trafford, that is going to be a clash of the Titans. It really is two favourites in the North Group, both have incredibly strong batting lineups and the bowling as well, Joe. I think it's going to be interesting to see the, not necessarily the quote-unquote battle between them, but the matchup between Matt Carter and Matthew Parkinson. I think that's going to be absolutely incredible. So, yeah, should be interesting, that game. Definitely another game to watch out for, listeners. So, yeah, should be an interesting game and an interesting week to kickstart the 2021 Vitality Blast here in the North Group. Very, very interesting indeed. But Joe, of course, moving on from the North Group, let's go down to the South Group. Who's your first standout batting performance of the week? I have a feeling I know who it might be.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's, I think there's two from this county. So I'll say the potentially less obvious one first, just because it was not a televised game. And that is Sam Curran. What a player Sam Curran is. He 100% could be batting in the top order for England in T20 cricket. 100% he could. He's opened in the IPL before, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. He has opened in the IPL before. What a player Sam Curran. 72 of 36, striking at 200. Honestly, he's an outrageous batter. He goes so under the radar as a batter. I don't even know what else to say, but everyone knows how good he is. He's an England international. As I say, this one may have gone a bit more unnoticed purely because it wasn't live on TV than my next performance, which you also potentially have picked,
It is up there, yeah.
Sam Curran is a phenomenal player. With bat and with ball, he's so good. So, yeah, we'll go for Sam Curran.
I don't blame you at all there, Joe. Yeah, 5 fours, 6 sixes. And we mentioned right at the start of the show about Surrey almost being a juggernaut so far. I know it is very, very early days, but they absolutely dispatched Somerset. They chased 188 runs in 16 overs with 7 wickets still to spare. What a performance that was from the Brown Caps. I mean, even you're laughing. It's ridiculous. Somerset are not even a bad side. Somerset are a good county.
Yeah, Somerset are a good
and
team.
They were absolutely annihilated at Taunton by Surrey. A great display of ball striking. I actually haven't got that in my top three, which is a little bit surprising, but
really?
As you mentioned, it was under the radar purely because of one performance, which I'll get to in due course. But in terms of my first standout batting performance of the week, I think he's going to be in yours as well. I would be shocked if this isn't Will Jacks' 70 from 24.
What an innings. That's even better than Sam Curran's.
It's like T10 cricket, isn't it?
Honestly, well, where they got, a 25 ball, T10 100 in a friendly against Lancs one time. That was, and he got run out as well, which makes it even worse.
Oh, yeah.
Getting run out is terrible at the best of times, but when you're on 70 off 24, could have broke records, I would assume. What an innings, man. Absolutely. That six that you hit, over extra cover
and hit the top of Lords.
I hit the top of what Will Jacks is such a good cricketer. He had a really tough time in the BBL, but he's such a good player. That just shows why. What a knock and what a shot that was as well.
Yeah. Ludicrous.
Phenomenal.
It was. And 70 from 24 balls, it is absolutely electrifying. That's the only way that I can describe it. That shot was outrageous, to put it lightly. And you just look at it, 9 fours, 5 sixes, and these are not just creeping over the boundary rope. These were almost clearing the entire stand. They were huge sixes.
The stands at Lords are quite tall as well, aren't they?
Massive.
So, yeah.
They're huge. They are so, so hard to clear. It's hard to get them even deep into the stand. And yet he was just doing it with such ease. This guy's got so much power and he's got such a bright future. He really has, Joe. You mentioned about him having some struggles in the Big Bash for the Hobart Hurricanes. But for Surrey, this guy's just an absolutely different beast.
Yeah, he is.
He really is good with the ball as well. That's another thing with Will Jacks's game. Again, talking about three-dimensional cricketers, lively in the field, good with the ball, outstanding with the bat. He's just a modern T20 player. He has all of the makings of a good modern T20 player. And Will Jacks this week, take a bow. I think that's the only way I can describe it. I'm still trying to come to terms with what we actually witnessed in that London derby. 70 from 24. Oh, it's crazy. As dispatching the Middlesex Seamers for fun was, quite something else, listeners. And if you haven't already watched it, watch the highlights. I cannot recommend them enough. But Joe, that was my first of the week. I'm guessing that was your second.
Yes, it was.
It was. Absolutely no surprises there then. So in terms of my second, I have gone with your boy, Marnus Labuschagne.
That's my third.
Yeah.
So that makes, what a knock. Sorry, actually, before we talk about that, I would just like to say I was a close fourth, actually. Maybe a bit of a left field choice. It would have been Paul Sterling's 58 of 28, also in the London Derby. I think that innings showed why Sterling is such a destructive batter. Yeah. I know he didn't get like masses and masses of runs and it was in a losing cause, but what an innings that was. Good to see him back at Middlesex as well. I know he was obviously spent a year away at Northants, but good to see him back. It feels like really does like part of the furniture there. So good to see him back.
It feels right, doesn't it? Yeah. Paul Sterling is very much Middlesex through and through. I agree, Joe. Yeah, that's just something I want to throw in there. But in terms of Marnus's performance, Joe, I know that you'll want to describe this. So I'll pass over to you, mate. Describe that incredible performance by the magnificent Marnus.
Well, he's so good. Honestly, he's so good. He just scores runs for fun. And there was one shot that sticks in my mind that I saw, and it was going around on social media. And he basically ended up running it down to third man for four. But he got in a position to ramp it leg side and then flipped his, I don't even know how he did it so quickly, basically flipped his whole body around in like a split second, and then ended up running it down off the face of the bat to third man for four. What a shot that was. That was an outrageous shot. And that, I mean, it's not a very like typical Marnus shot, but for me, that is Marnus personified in one shot, because nobody else in the world would think to be, maybe only Steve Smith, I would say, would do something like that. You know, like that kind of like quirky and like out of the box shot, and the way he flipped his whole body around. What a shot that was, and what an innings. He's so good, and he's been short for runs. Got 50 against Lancs and has now got another two in a row in the blast. So the fact that he doesn't get in anywhere near Australia's T20 side is just ridiculous to me. There's not a chance he shouldn't not be in the T20 team. He should walk into that team at number three, number four. He 100% should. What a player.
What a player indeed. Simple as that. 93 not out from 56. I did feel so, so bad for him. 93 not out. And as you mentioned, some of the shots, so much enterprise, so much innovation. And he was in a losing cause. And you just listened to him on the post-match interview. And he couldn't exactly be happy, but he just produced one of the knocks of the tournament.
Yeah. And I guess that's the issue with this game was, I mean, they had three Golden Ducks in a row on the scorecard.
Fair play to Benny Howell, though. Fair
play to Benny Howell. Oh, 100%. 100%. And not take anything away from Gloucester, because they clearly bowled well and fielded well. But Marnus just didn't have a partner, effectively. And I know he did. Was it yesterday, their last game? I think it was yesterday, wasn't it?
59.
I know it was yesterday. Yeah, obviously got a great partnership with Nick Selman, but he didn't really have a partner against Gloucester, and that's what cost them. So, sure, they had a couple of starters in there. Chris Cook got 26, Kieran Carlson 14, but those Golden Ducks and that two for Tim van der Hoogten really killed them. So,
yeah. Again, though, Joe, you have to give credit to Gloucester in that moment, don't you? As I mentioned, Benny definitely. Howell at the end, very, very impressive indeed. And yeah, good win for the glorious Gloucesters in Cardiff. But what a performance that was from Marnus, lighting up the stage in the Vitality Blast in a sensational fashion. But Joe, in terms of my third and final batting performance in the South Group this week, I've gone for Jack Leaning. Now, Jack Leaning scored 81 not out yesterday. And I mentioned earlier about Matt Critchley, for example, and Finn Allen changing the complete dynamics of a game. Jack Leaning did exactly this. exactly this. Kent, in the third over of their innings, were 16 for 3. Gloucestershire had them on the absolute ropes. And he comes in, Jack Leaning strides out to the crease, hits some fours, rotates the strike brilliantly with Daniel Bell Drummond, who also scored 51. Just wanted to give Deebs mention this week as well. But Jack Leaning completely turned this game on its head. It was incredible. Six fours, four sixes. He's just a great player. Jack Leaning in form is a very, very destructive prospect, to say the least, for the Kent Spitfires. And not only that, not just the batting. I know we're talking specifically about batting here. Also really impressed with his fielding. He's a live wire in the field. He's very energetic, very lively, very enthusiastic with his fielding. I always like that with T20 cricketers, because you have to have players like that in the team to just, you know, reinvigorate and re-energise everyone on the field. So Jack Leaning's 81 out from 51 balls. That is my third and final one from this week. Absolutely brilliant. And what a start that Kent have had as well. Top of the South
great
group.
Great start.
Three wins out of three, 6 points. And Darren Stevens as well. How good is it to see him back in a T20 shirt and performing well, getting wickets? Oh, what a start for the Spitfires. Completely different to their championship run, which is very, very strange indeed. It's almost like they've switched places, in fact. But moving on from our batting then, Joe, let's go to the bowling performances. And I will actually start with this one. And this is actually a performance against Kent. Now, unfortunately for Middlesex, this was in a losing cause. But the man in question here is Chris Green. 5 for 32. It's the first fifer of the 2021 Vitality Blast, and also the first of his county cricket career, of course, Greeny having spent one season with the Birmingham Bears in 2019. But he bowled so, so well. And the thing that I like about Chris Green, and always do like about him, he's not a spinner. So on the scorecard or on the game graphics, you'll see him as a right-arm off-spinner. He's not an off-spinner at all. He's a slow bowler who jams in these arm balls into the surface, and they are so, so hard to hit. And Kent found that out firsthand. 5 for 32, bowled those arm balls with laser-like accuracy, also bowled some pretty spicy short balls as well. I must admit, we're seeing this more often with spinners, actually, where they're bowling it into the surface at a more pronounced velocity. But Chris Green this week, what a bowler. What a bowler. Middlesex fans, he is going to be a fantastic player for your team this year. I'm telling you that from first-hand experience. Brilliant for the Sydney Thunder in the Big Bash, Guyana in the CPL. This guy knows how to bowl. And again, he's another one knocking down the door to Australia selection. So Chris Green, 5 for 32. Outstanding. Take a bow, Chris Green. But Joe, who did you select as your first of the week?
Also gone for Chris Green.
Unsurprisingly.
First fifer. Don't really need to say much else. You've pretty much covered all bases there. Great bowler. Underrated with the bat as well, Chris Green, I think.
Absolutely.
And also a really good fielder. So a really, really good three-dimensional cricketer. As you said about Critchley. Not really, I'm not comparing it to Critchley, but three-dimensional. So, really, really good player for Middlesex. He's going to be important this year, I think, with bat and ball and in the field. And as a leader as well. As a leader, he will be important. But for my second bowling performance of the week, this time against Middlesex, back to the London Derby. And that is Sam Curran again. He keeps cropping up.
Yep.
What a player. Phenomenal player, Sam Curran. He really is. 4 for 29 off four overs, 7.25 runs and over. Just you can't really ask for much more. When you've got an England international, someone who goes for so much money in the IPL in your side, this is what you need from him. And he's delivered with the bat, he's delivered with the ball. Great start for Sam Curran. And also I will say just quickly in this game, Tom Curran took a screamer of a catch. I really hope he bounces back from what has effectively been a tough run for him recently, because he has struggled. So hopefully he can bounce back. It'd be great to see. And can't really ask for much more from Tom Curran either in the field.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Again, sorry. We're going to keep on mentioning them in this week's podcast. They just look like such a well-oiled machine. They really did this week. Two massive commanding victories as well. These were not close-fought victories. These were completely one-sided. They were just dominant, simple as that. And in this game, you mentioned the London Derby. Brilliant combined batting and bowling display. And Sam Curran, of course, being at the forefront of the bowling. 4 for 29, as you mentioned, Joe. Also got a run out of Nathan Souter. So again, what a game he had, Sam Curran.
Basically and of course,
Curran. Yeah, in a way. But Sam Curran, absolutely brilliant. And fingers crossed he can have a good T20 blast, because that will put him in really, really good stead for the T20 World Cup, of course, later this year. But Joe, in terms of my third and final one of this week, is he a Sussex player?
He is, yeah.
Is he 16 years of age?
He is, yeah.
Yep. Okay, fair enough. We have chosen the same then, listeners. Archie Lenham, the name on everybody's lips this week. 3 for 14 in El Clasico, so Sussex versus Hampshire down in Hove. He dismissed Tom Allsop. Yeah, what a name. Dismissed Tom Allsop, Joe Weatherly and Lewis McManus in his television debut. And an interesting fact about Archie Lenham, he's the second youngest player in T20 Blast history behind only Hamadullah Kadri. So what an occasion this was. And what a week this has been for Archie Lenham. 3 for 14 on your televised debut. Joe, what did you make of the young leg spinner? How impressed were you with his accuracy, his control and his execution in this game?
Yeah, I think what he did took a lot of guts, because his first two wickets actually were caught on the boundary. Now, people may say they're just lucky wickets. I think actually that's better, because he took a lot of guts to toss the ball up against, let's be honest, some good players. Tom Allsop, great player, isn't he? Lewis McManus, he hit a massive six, didn't he? So, you know, they're two great players. And it takes a lot of guts as a 16-year-old in your second game to toss the ball up like that, give it enough flight, knowing that the chances are you're more likely to get hit for six, let's be honest. More likely to get hit for six or four, especially, you know, when you're so inexperienced. And it paid dividends. So really, really impressive. Not a bad way to introduce yourself, to be honest. Let's put it that way. Great work. And also, obviously got a stump in as well. Got Joe Weatherly out. Stumped by Phil Salt, who I think actually has been keeping really, really well.
Yeah.
What a catch he took. Yeah. We didn't even mention him with the bat, which I can't believe we overlooked Phil Salt, actually. We didn't even mention him. He's got 250s already this season. So he started brilliantly, and what a catch he took off Tamar Mills. Really, really impressive work from Salt. That could be a potential way he gets into England's World T20 plans as a keeper. You know, if Butler gets injured and Johnny gets injured, which touch wood they don't, or, you know, they need another keeper, let's say they just take Salt as a backup, potentially that's how he gets himself in the squad. So, yeah, brilliant from Salt. And also, just a quick point, actually. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this, because I'm actually having to think about it when I was watching the game. Tamar Mills, if he can prove his fitness, should he go to the World T20? Because for me, he should. He offers something totally different that not many teams have, other than Pakistan and Australia, off the top of my head. I can't think of another side who has an absolutely rapid left-arm fast bowler who can bowl at the death and bowl up top. England have that in Tamar Mills. And if he can prove his fitness, I think he should go. Even if he doesn't play every game, even if he only comes in for, you know, three or four games in a World T20, he could be a crucial member of an England side. I would love it if Tamar Mills went to the World T20 in India. And I would love it even more if he went to Australia, because his pace would just be lethal there. So do you think he should go? Do you think he's an outside bet, maybe?
It's an interesting one, because I like Tamar Mills. And of course, for those who know, I'm an RCB fan. He played for us a few years ago, actually, in 2017 in India. So I suppose he already has that element of experience in subcontinental conditions. And as you mentioned, Joe, he does offer something different. But with that being said, there is another Sussex player who is pretty similar, who could actually be challenging for that exact niche, the fast left-arm seamer, and that is George Garton, who again has had a fantastic start to the season. Now, historically, as we know with England's selection process, they tend to go for younger players. So I feel like if it was between those two, as I mentioned, they do fulfill very similar roles. I think Garton's batting is a bit better as well. I think they'd choose George Garton. But if England did want that experienced figurehead, that guy who's going to come in, provide you with death overs, Yorker bowling, and that extra bit of speed as well, I think Tamar Mills would be a great option. I've always rated Tamar Mills. He's a great, great bowler. He has had some rotten luck with injuries as well.
Yes, he has.
If he'd been able to keep his fitness,
he could have been a phenomenal red ball bowler for England, for all we know. So I think it's such a shame. But it wouldn't surprise me if he went, because for me, there's three bowlers who are going for one left arm position: Mills, Garton, and Rhys Topley. And Topley's obviously not as quick as either, but he's probably there, like, ahead of them both now. I say Mills is last just purely because of injuries. But if Mills has a great T20 blast and can prove his fitness, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't go, to be honest. I think England would be stupid not to take him. So be interesting.
Yeah, very, very interesting indeed, Joe. And I'll tell you what, great, great question. And a fantastic question for the listeners to ponder as well. Should Tamar Mills or George Garton go to the T20 World Cup? Please do let us know at the County Crick 2 on Twitter. The link is, of course, in the podcast description. But staying with Sussex, Joe, I think we all know who the under-23 player of the week is for me, and that is, of course, Archie Lenham. Now, I am an off-spinner, but I do appreciate the art of leg spin as well. And as you rightfully mentioned, Joe, the way in which he had so much bravery and courage to toss that ball up to an incredibly strong Hampshire batting lineup on your televised debut, that could have gone horribly wrong. He could have gone for about 40 runs. And a lot of young spinners would have gone for less flight, less trajectory, bowled into the pitch, and just tried to almost allow Hampshire to milk the strike. But instead, he went attacking, he went for the aggressive option, and it paid off in fantastic fashion. Great, great bit of keeping as well. Mentioned that from Phil Salt to dismiss Joe Weverley. Really fast stumping, lightning hands, reminding me a little bit of Matt Prior. Maybe that's the Sussex connection coming through there. But Archie Lenham is a fantastic young talent. Again, someone who Sussex can nurture in that incredibly competitive academy of cricket that they've got down in Hove. You look at the likes of Jamie Atkins, for example, Henry Crocombe, Ali Orr, Daniel Ibrahim. And now you can add Archie Lenham's name to that. Sussex have got such an exciting pool of talent down in Hove. They really do. And another thing about Archie as well, he is 16. He's going to have hard games. We can't expect him to go on and be the next Rashid Khan. But talking to Rashid Khan, Joe, he's going to be playing with him, potentially.
What a learner.
Exactly. You're learning off the very best T20 bowler in the world.
One of the best T20 leg spinners ever.
I'd say the best.
One of the best T20 bowlers.
I would say the best.
One of the best T20 bowlers ever. Let's widen that. One of the best 100%. T20 bowlers ever.
Yeah. What a player and what a fantastic learning opportunity that is. So, yeah. Joe, unsurprisingly, seeing as we've sung his praises all podcasts, and of course, Archie Lenham wishing him the best for the rest of the season, but is Archie your under-23 player of the week, or have you gone for Sam Curran?
No, I've actually gone for Will Jacks. I just think you can't ignore that innings. I mean, Archie Lenham's very close, but I just think with that innings from Will Jacks, it was remarkable. Honestly, it was that could be one of the best innings we'll see all tournament. And I know he didn't get 100, but regardless, that could be up there for one of the innings of the tournament. So I've gone for Will Jacks as my under-23 player, but Sam Curran is my player of the week. So, I mean, it could have actually been either or, but I've just gone for Sam Curran as my player. I've already said all I need to say about Sam Curran. World class. The next in line to the Ben Stokes throne, if you like.
Hey, fair enough. Fair shout there, Joe. I've also gone with Sam Curran as my player of the week. Just to give the listeners some stats. 93 runs in two games with a 175.47 strike rate and has also taken 5 wickets at 12.4 with an economy rate of 7.75. Sam Curran, what a talent. And to think, Joe, that 3 years ago, he was almost pigeonholed, wasn't he, as a Red Bull prospect. Yeah. And I still believe that Red Bull cricket is his best avenue. I'm going to be honest. I think that is his strongest suit. But Sam Curran is proving that he is a T20 option. And he's a really, really impressive prospect. He really is. To have seen the evolution and emergence of Sam Curran since 2019, it's incredible. It really is. Since that stint in the IPL with the Kings 11 Punjab has just reinvigorated that spark, I think, in T20 cricket. And now he is a real option in the format. So Sam Curran, Surrey fans, you'll be glad to know, he is TCCP South Group Player of the Week and thoroughly deserving of that title indeed. So Joe, moving on to our next one, and talking of Surrey, by the way, we have just chosen Sam Curran there, Joe. I think it's obvious who our team of the week is going to be.
Yep, Surrey.
Pretty
routine. I mean, you mentioned then at run rate at the start, what was it again?
2.5. It was plus 2.5 in two games.
2.517. I mean, that is ridiculous. I don't know how they work out net run rate. I don't know how it's worked out, but I know what is a good net run rate, and that is a good net run rate. So that is remarkable from Surrey, and that is helped obviously by the likes of Jacks and Curran. So team of the week, player of the week, looking very strong. I think Surrey and Lancs, Worcester, Ken, they're four of the teams who and Warwickshire, Birmingham, whatever you want to call them.
Warwickshire. I would rather call them Warwickshire.
Whatever, the Bears, we'll just call them that. Yeah. They're also looking very good as well. So yeah, I think it's going to be interesting.
Absolutely. And yeah, to be fair, Surrey is my choice as well, Joe, unsurprisingly, because of the demolition job that they did on both Middlesex in the London Derby and Somerset at the Cooper Associates County Ground in Taunton. But Kent as well. Kent have pleasantly surprised me. I must admit, three games, three wins. Having Darren Stevens back as well is fantastic. That really does put a big smile on my face. Joe Denley back in the runs and the wickets as well. Bell Drummond in form, Jack Leaning in form. I'll tell you what, if Kent can find that balance and maintain this momentum and rhythm throughout the tournament, again, we talk about dark horses earlier, Joe. Kent are another team like that. They are a very, very 100%. Strong team. They've got some great bowling options, some great 100%. Batting options as well. They have
Darren
really
Stevens
impressed
me. Hasn't even got going with the bat yet. We've seen him score, 190 odd off how many balls? Like 150 balls or something like that. He's not even got going with the bat. He can hit a cricket ball a long way. So if he gets hold of a few, yeah, that's a danger for other sides.
Absolutely. So yeah, Kent, definitely a side to watch out for in 2021. But in terms of our TCCP Team of the Week for week one in the South Group, we have chosen Surrey County Cricket Club. But Joe, before we end today's show then, we do of course have our Game of the Week to watch out for. Now for me, Joe, I'll start with this and I'm going to go Surrey versus Sussex at the Oval. I think that is going to be an absolutely brilliant game. Listeners, get your popcorn out. That's all that I'll say. Surrey, the Galacticos almost, in the South Group with all of those quality names, the likes of Jason Roy, Will Jack, Sam Curran, Tom Curran, your boy Jordan Clark, Joe. Yeah, there we go. And then Sussex, who have this really interesting blend of youth and experience with the likes of Phil Salt, Ravi Bopara, Archie Lennon. We'll be interested to see if he can continue this fantastic form. George Garton, Timar Mills. We could list each 11. We could name all 22 players. And no matter who plays in this game, it's going to be an absolute blockbuster. So that for me, Joe, this week is the standout game of the South Group. What have you chosen, mate?
So I've actually gone for one tonight on the day of recording. And that is Surrey against Glamorgan. Now, that's going to be really, really interesting. Glamorgan have made an all right start to the tournament. They've obviously won one, lost one. Marnus is in great form, and that's, for me, where the key batter comes in. You mentioned all Surrey's good bowlers there. Obviously, Clark, the Currans, Dan Moriarty. So, how are they going to fare against Marnus? That's going to be interesting to see, especially for the likes, especially Sam Curran. Obviously, we'll be playing against him in the Ashes later in the year if he gets selected, which I, to be honest, think he will. So it's going to be very interesting to see how he goes against Marnus, albeit in a different format, but it doesn't really make much of a difference to me. I think it'll still be very a fascinating watch. So, yeah, I mean, you may be listening to this podcast after the game. So if so, you'll know the result. Mm-hmm. But if not, make sure you watch it because it'll be a good one.
Absolutely, Joe. Great, great choice. And just two final ones I wanted to mention, almost as honourable mentions. Kent versus Essex on the 20th, I think is going to be brilliant because of two quality bowling attacks. We haven't really mentioned Essex, Joe, but their bowling has impressed me at times. So you've got Neesham, you've got Jack Plum, you've got Simon Harmer, of course. You've got Sam Cook in good form. Essex are a pretty underrated side in T20 cricket. They really are. So I think Kent versus Essex. Kent, of course, we didn't mention him in this week's stand-up bowling performances, but Freddie Clarkson as well took a four for the other day. He was very, very impressive this week. So Kent, again, a quality bowling attack versus a quality bowling attack in the Battle of the Bridge at the Spitfire Ground should be absolutely fantastic. And just final one for this week as well, Somerset versus Glamorgan. At Taunton, 19th of June, small ground, small boundaries, Tom Banton, Marnus Labuschagne in the same game. That is going to be an absolute blockbuster, in my opinion, as well. But, Joe, bring us to an end to this week's wrap-up show, mate. Do you have anything to kind of just wrap up and close up on? Or do you think we've covered everything for this week?
I think we've pretty much about covered everything. Just hopefully England can... I mean, I've obviously got a few days off, but hopefully England can bounce back in the T20 series, obviously. I mean, I've said my opinions on the squad, so... it's an interesting one, but yeah, hopefully they can bounce back against Sri Lanka.
100%, Joe. And we will be looking at that series, of course, with a lot of intent, shall we just say, here on TCCP. We'll be very, very interested to see who does perform in that series, potentially some new names being added to T20 World Cup contention. So yeah, it should be a very, very interesting series. And of course, guys, just keep on watching the T20 Blast. It's such a good tournament, isn't it, Joe? It really is under the lights, the atmosphere, the entertainment, the crowds are back, and it is, it just feels like summer now, doesn't it? With the T20 Blast, it feels like summer is here. So watch it if you can get tickets to the games. Go and watch your teams and your counties firsthand. And yeah, the 2021 Vitality Blast should be absolutely incredible throughout this summer. But listeners, that is it from us for today's episode of the Counter Cricket Podcast. To each and every single one of you, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.